Today is October 25th, 2020. As the coronavirus continues to be very active in our communities, we offer this recorded service, and I welcome you to this time of worship. Today's call to worship is based on Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! Our souls long for the courts of the Lord, and our hearts sing with joy to the living God. O Lord, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 days spent elsewhere. Even a sparrow has a home in your courts. We would rather be a doorkeeper in your house than to live in the tents of wickedness. The Lord our God is our sun and our shield. You bless us with favor and honor. You do not withhold any good thing from those who follow his teachings. Lord Almighty, how happy is everyone who trusts in you. We bless your name, and we praise your name forever and ever. Please pray with me. Lord God, you are the one who never sleeps, for whom the long watches of the night are as day, and the darkness is as the noonday sun. Lord, we remember your words, that your eye is on the sparrow, and none lives or dies without your awareness. Watch over us, we ask, and may we know and sense you are watching us. Give us a quiet strength and confidence that you are close by. Some of us cannot even sit still, Lord, for we are restless and anxious, and we find our minds racing, our thoughts circling, our bodies aching, our hearts yearning, our faith struggling. O Lord, be present with us. Comfort us and recreate us into wholeness. In our daily living, give us alertness, diligence, and wisdom. In our moments of life, give us comfort in our mourning, health in our sickness, assurance for our challenged spirits. Still our racing thoughts to enable us to find peacefulness. Soothe us in our troubled moments and quiet our restless moments. O God, who never sleeps, be with us in our waking and in our sleeping. Nourish, comfort, and refresh us this day and the hours that lie ahead. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, who takes every dark and troubled moment and changes it totally into amazing new possibilities. And we now pray as Jesus taught his first followers, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to listen and or join in singing the song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. It's also found, part of that is also found in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 9 and Luke's Gospel chapter 8. And I think usually the Luke's Gospel or the Luke's account of this is often the more often heard one. We're going to be reading from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged Jesus repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. Jesus strictly ordered them not that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. May we be blessed by through this reading and hearing and application of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Holy God, we praise and glorify you. We rejoice in all the ways that you provide for us and sustain us. Open our hearts and our minds to your word and fill us with your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How is your relationship with God? How close or distant do you feel? Can you pray to God at any time during your busy day and believe that God will hear your prayer and respond according to his will? Can you relinquish control of your life and trust God to work in and through you? Do you have joy in claiming to be a child of God? Or are you hurt, angry, disappointed, despondent, frustrated, or hopeless because you feel God has not listened, responded, or acted in your best interests? Again, I ask you, how is your relationship with God today? The story of a famous gospel musician illustrates how one's relationship with God can change as we are bombarded with challenges and difficulties in life. In 1932, Thomas A. Dorsey, the son of an itinerant Baptist preacher and a jazz musician turned gospel singer, had achieved a measure of fame. In August of that year, he was scheduled to be the featured soloist at a revival meeting in a St. Louis church. Because his wife, Nettie, was pregnant, he worried about leaving her at home in Chicago. But she urged him to go ahead, so he decided to keep his commitment and traveled to St. Louis. During the program, a messenger handed Dorsey a telegram. Dorsey opened the envelope and read these four heartbreaking words: "Your wife just died." He quickly returned home and learned that just before his wife died, she had given birth to a baby boy. Later that night, the baby also died. Remembering that painful time of his life, he later said, and I quote, "I buried Nettie and our son in the same casket. Then I fell apart. For days, I closeted myself. I felt God had done me an injustice. I didn't want to serve him anymore or write any more gospel songs. I could have laughed at the notion of God's justice and mercy." End quote. Then one day, he sat down at a piano and tells this account of what happened. "My hands began to browse on the keys. Then something happened. I felt as though I could reach out and touch God. I found myself playing a melody I never remembered hearing before, and words came into my head. They just seemed to fall into place. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home." Dorsey was convinced that the song came to him as a direct gift from God. Precious Lord, that song became extremely popular and has been translated into 32 languages. With his spirit healed, Thomas A. Dorsey went on to write more than 400 other gospel songs. He later said, and I quote, "I learned that when we are in our deepest grief, when we feel farthest from God, this is when God is closest and when we are most open to that restoring power." End quote. That quote from Thomas A. Dorsey reminds me of the famous story entitled Footprints, or Footprints in the Sand, in which a man dreams of walking on a beach with the Lord. As he does this, scenes from his life flash across the sky, and he notices two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashes before him, he looks back at the footprints in the sand. He notices there was one set of prints. He also notices that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothers the man, and he questions the Lord about it. And he said, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replies, My son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it is then that I carried you. The Gospels contain numerous examples of Jesus reaching out with a healing touch to troubled people, supporting them through times of trial and suffering. In today's scripture, Jesus performs two great miracles. First, there is the woman who has been suffering from a debilitating hemorrhage for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians, Mark tells us, and she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Her condition seemed hopeless. The healing power of God seems to be out of touch with her. Then Jesus comes into her life. Like the author of the song, Precious Lord, something happens. She feels as though she could reach out and touch God. If I but touch his clothes, she says, I will be made well. She does this, and immediately the hemorrhage ceases, and she feels in her body that she has been made well. And Jesus says to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. The second miracle in today's scripture occurs when a synagogue official named Jairus falls at Jesus' feet saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. Then people from Jairus' house arrive to tell him that his daughter is dead. Do not fear, only believe, Jesus says to Jairus. And then he arrives at Jairus' house. And when he arrives at Jairus' house, he sees people weeping and wailing loudly. And Jesus says to them, Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And the people laugh at Jesus. But he dismisses them and goes into the child's room with her mother and father and the disciples, takes her by the hand and says, Little girl, get up. And immediately she gets up and walks. In the two miracle stories, both the hemorrhaging woman and Jairus are motivated by the same faith connection. Jesus has the power to cure, to heal, to make whole again, to transform sorrow into joy, even death into life. Daughter, your faith has made you well, he says to the woman. Do not fear, only believe, he says to Jairus. I'm reminded of the words of another song, this one by Bill Gaither. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. There's another miracle episode in Mark's Gospel in which Jesus is asked to lay his hands on a deaf man with a speech impediment. Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears and touched the man's tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, sighed, and said, "Be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, and he began to speak plainly. And the people who witnessed the miracle were filled with awe and wonder. In Mark's words, their amazement knew no bounds. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Like the witnesses of the last miracle I mentioned, our amazement will know no bounds the day we recognize once and for all that we are special in God's plan of creation. Our amazement will know no bounds the day we finally recognize that we are one of God's originals, miraculously mysterious in our uniqueness. Our amazement will know no bounds when we recognize that miracle of miracles, we belong, that God's plan for the fulfillment of his creation includes each one of us, needs each of us, and that we are a miracle of life. A man worked hard for 25 years to achieve a certain level of success in the company he worked for. Finally, his time had come, or so he thought. He was on the verge of receiving the big promotion that will fulfill his life's ambition. Suddenly, out of the blue, it happened. There was a change in the company's upper management. As a result, he not only did not get the promotion, he found himself out of a job. After all those years of loyal service, he was fired. His services were no longer required. It was a devastating blow. And when he went home that day, he felt as though he had fallen into a bottomless pit of bitterness, hatred, and despair. He was greeted by his 12-year-old son. "Dad," the boy said, "a bird fell down the downspout outside." "Let's see if we can get it out," the father replied automatically. And then, in his own words, he tells what happened. The downspout ran from the overhead gutter down the side of the house and directly into the sewer. I looked at it for a moment, and then I sent the boy to the garage for a screwdriver and a pair of pliers. When he returned, the two of us began peeling away the aluminum. Within minutes, we had an opening. It was packed with grass. "The bird must have been building a nest at the top," I said hurriedly, pulling out the grass. "If water is in there, the bird may have drowned," I said gently, trying to prepare my son. I pulled out the last handful of grass, and the sparrow, freed from its death cell, came out behind my hand and flew off. Immediately, another one followed. It, too, flew away. "We saved them, Dad," my son exclaimed, and turned to run and tell his mother. I smiled after him and then began bending the metal back into place. I was still thinking of my problems as I walked inside. Suddenly, I stopped cold, remembering something I had read in the Bible. "Do not be afraid. You are more valued than many sparrows." Chill after chill went through me, the man continues. My thoughts a few minutes earlier, that even God wasn't aware of my existence, had been answered by God. My depression disappeared and was replaced with a joy I can't describe. It seemed like a miracle. Had my son not passed that downspout at exactly the moment he heard the sound, we would not have known about it. I knew it was not a coincidence. I knew at that moment I had nothing to worry about. God was with me. Many gospel singers have made this proclamation through the following words, which we sang earlier today. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. God does watch over each of us. God is with you. God is with me. Trust God. Trust in the miracle of love. Trust in the promises of God. Trust in God's will for your life. And your faith will make you well. Let's pray together. Precious Lord, take our hand. Through the storm, through the night, lead us on to the light. Take our hand, precious Lord, lead us home. God of wonder, you have set us out upon the most amazing journey, a trip through worlds undreamed of only a few generations ago, a journey along which we are privileged to meet up with friends and companions, learn the glory of your creation, and share your kindness with our fellow travelers. You have bestowed upon us something of your own inventive powers so that we can explore creation from the outer world of the cosmos to the inner world of the atom. You have given us understanding and imagination through which we can develop and mature. You have given us humor so that we can find mirth in the earth around us and delight in one another's company. Having given us all of that, you set us in the world and give us a real opportunity to make something of it, of ourselves, and of human community. We praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We cannot see the ending of this adventure, but we know that it is your love upholding us step by step. We all falter and fail, but then you graciously help us rise again, just as you will when this earthly adventure of ours is finally ended, when we fall one last time. Then, too, you will again take our hand and give us just one more surprise, the news that our joyful adventure has only just begun. Lead us on, Lord. Lead us home. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to listen and or join in singing the song by Thomas A. Dorsey, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Through the storm, through the night,
As we conclude this time of worship, may our loving God move us from tragedy to blessing. May our strong Jesus move us from fear to trust. May the guiding Spirit move us from despair to hope. And may God's eternal love surround us and fill us with peace. Amen.